Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. I'll be preaching on the Gospel reading today from Matthew 24, 36 to 44. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we listen to your word today, fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we may be alert, stay awake, and keep watch for your Son's return in glory. We pray in his name. Amen. I'd like to begin today by drawing your attention to the central stained glass window. If you read about these windows, this is known as the Ascension window. It's a depiction of Christ withdrawing his visible presence from his disciples, returning to his Father's right hand. A depiction of the Ascension of Jesus. But what's interesting is that if you read the verse down the bottom, which probably you can't from where you're sitting, it is from John chapter 14, verse 3, and it says, "I will come again." I will come again. And so this is not only an ascension window, but in another sense, a coming again of Christ window. The book of Acts says, "In the same way you saw him go, he will come again." And we are very blessed to have this depiction of Christ before us, to have it set before our eyes, something that reminds us that Christ is coming again. Because in our text today, we learn that this is what Jesus wants to do for his disciples, to have that future event set always before them. Not so much in the form of a visual stained glass window, perhaps, but to have the truth of that event set before the eyes of our mind, before the eyes of our heart. He is coming again. And he wants us to be aware of this. He wants us to be always prepared for this. He wants us to be considering how that future event changes our lives now. Because it does. And it does quite drastically. Let's consider this in the text today, and we'll look at three main points. First, we'll see how Jesus teaches us a main truth here. And then second, we'll see that he gives some illustrations of this. And finally, there's a simple application, an implication that comes out of it. So first is the basic truth that Jesus teaches here. He says, "About that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." This is the bedrock truth from which everything in this text follows and flows out of. Jesus says that no one knows. Now, it's worth lingering on this, even though it's very simple in a sense, because in the life of the church throughout history, there has always been an almost irresistible curiosity to find out when the end will come. To try and discover and predict the time and the date. And in fact, it was a question about that sort of thing that began this whole discussion Jesus is in our text. Jesus told his disciples the temple was going to be destroyed, and the disciples asked, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus went on to speak about signs of the destruction of the Jerusalem temple and signs which point us in a general sense to the nearness of his coming again. But notice here that when it comes to the precise time, he is very, very clear. No one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Now that's a very mysterious thing for Jesus to say, isn't it? that there's some sense in which he himself does not even know the final day. That really plumbs the depths of the mystery of the Holy Trinity and what it means for the Son of God to take on human flesh. And it'll take us a bit far afield to get into that today, but a part of the force of the statement is surely that if even Jesus himself does not know, then no other human being can ever have any hope of knowing. Now, I wouldn't feel compelled as a pastor to spend much time on this were it not for the continual and repeated instances through history of Christians getting deceived by people coming, claiming to know the day and the hour, to know the end. Jesus seems to know the human heart when he gives this warning. Because right from the early church, in the time of the Reformation, especially through times like the 1800s, but even up until today, people have come claiming to know the time. And we are persistently curious about this. Even in recent years, whether it's the millennium or whether it's the end of the Mayan calendar or some other date, people come claiming to know and Christians get drawn into this. People have been known to sell their homes, to move away and to wait. And against all of this stand the clear words of our Lord Jesus about that day and hour, no one knows. And so don't go looking for it. Don't listen to anyone who claims to know it. It is a spiritually unhelpful path. Now I wonder whether one of the reasons this curiosity persists is that in a sense, it makes it a bit easier to prepare. Whereas what Jesus actually calls us to in this sort of text is quite difficult. Because Jesus says we don't know, and therefore we need to be always prepared, always watchful, always vigilant, always on the lookout. That's a challenging calling. Whereas if we know the day and hour, maybe that seems a bit easier. This is the basic truth that Jesus teaches us. No one knows the day or the hour. Okay, next Jesus gives us some illustrations then of this basic point. The first one is about Noah and the flood. He says, as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Now there's lots of interesting things about the days of Noah, but notice he's drawing a very specific parallel here. He says, as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. So the point here is that there is a judgment of God coming, and it will catch many people by surprise. The point here is that daily life continued up until that day, life more or less as normal. People were having meals together, Jesus says. They're enjoying parties together. They were getting married and starting lives together. All these normal things were continuing, and they're not necessarily bad things. In fact, they're good things. It's everyday life. And yet, there is an end coming. And perhaps there is a suggestion in these words of Jesus that it is possible to become so preoccupied with the things of everyday life that one's spiritual awareness is dulled, that one gives no thought to a coming judgment of God. There's a similar emphasis on ordinary daily life in the next picture Jesus gives. He says, two men will be in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken, one will be left. And again, an emphasis on surprise, on the unexpected. But again, this sense in which life will go on as normal right up until that day, Jesus says. His third little picture is the one about the thief in the night. That if the master of the house had known the hour at which the thief was coming, he would have stayed up. And again, the main point there is basically the same. Since I've been married, Kim and I have been unlucky enough to be robbed a few times, and maybe some of you have had the same experience. And Jesus points out something here that's fairly obvious and resonates with my experience, is that thieves aren't usually in the habit of letting you know when they intend to arrive. That wouldn't be a great strategy for a thief, would it? And Jesus' point is that his coming will not be like that, but will be like an ordinary thief who does not let you know, and so there is this need to be always prepared. And make no mistake about these pictures, they are not comfortable. Isn't there something quite shocking about them? Quite sobering and confronting about them? The flood was God's judgment on human wickedness, and it suddenly swept people away. In his next picture, people are working in a field and suddenly the judgment comes. In the third one, Jesus compares himself to a burglar. This is not comfortable stuff. Jesus seems to want to get our attention here. Now, thankfully, the gospel is hidden away here as well. Because Noah and his family were saved in the ark as they trusted in God's promises. For the people in the field and at the mill, some are taken, but some are left, some are safe. And remember that St. Peter says that as Noah and his family were saved through the water, baptism now saves you through the resurrection of Christ. Jesus, the coming one, is also the one who died and rose again for you to bring you salvation. And you are safe in him from this coming judgment. But let us not miss the sobering nature of what he says here. That is surely meant to awaken us from any spiritual slumber and complacency. You do not know on what day your Lord will come. There's that basic truth. Then there's his little illustrations to awaken us to it. And then finally, there's the very basic implication of it. Therefore, keep awake. Be watchful. Always ready. Continually on the lookout for him. Jesus wants to instill in his disciples a particular attitude. A posture, if you like. A posture in life of alertness, of watchfulness for his coming. What do we say in the creed? We look for the resurrection of the dead. We look out for it. Here's one way of thinking about this sort of thing that Jesus is calling for. Right now, some of you are preparing for Christmas. You have gifts to buy. Maybe you have people coming to your home, maybe you're traveling. Whatever it is, you're getting ready. You're preparing. And the thing about preparation for Christmas is that it takes a sort of particular shape because you know the day. You know the day of Christmas. It's the same every year, obviously. So that even if, like me, you tend to leave things until the last minute, you can still count down. You still know that on December 24th, the shops are open until 5:30 p.m. And I know because I looked, I checked on the internet this week. Because you know that, because you can count down, those preparations, they look a certain way. But then there's other sort of preparations that we make in life. There's also things we prepare for that we do not know when they are coming, and that looks somewhat different. One example I've used before is the example of bushfires. So people up in the Adelaide Hills will usually have some sort of a bushfire plan, won't they? And the nature of that preparation is a bit different. It does involve checklists and that sort of thing, but there is no countdown. Instead, it requires more of an outlook on life, a certain attitude that just becomes embedded in the way you now see the world and go about your daily life. I was speaking to someone during the week about this who grew up in bushfire-prone areas, and they said this is how it was for them and their family. They didn't live every day obsessed with bushfires and constantly fearful of them, but preparing for them had sort of become part of their daily life. It was just something that was always on the horizon of their thinking. This person even said they would go outside and occasionally, almost without thinking about it, you would just check the horizon in case there was smoke around. Even your sense of smell had cultivated this sort of preparedness. They were vigilant. They were watchful. Jesus is teaching us that second sort of preparedness, that second sort of vigilance for his coming. He says everyday life will go on. You will continue to get up and marry and be given in marriage, to eat and drink, to go to work. Preparing for Jesus' coming does not mean that we sell up our homes and move to a retreat and all sing kumbaya until Christ comes again. That's not what it's like. This is a different sort of watching. We're called to continue serving in our everyday lives, serving God and serving our neighbor in the places he has put us, in our families, in our communities, in our congregation. We are to continue serving in everyday life, but all the while being watchful for Christ, being spiritually awake, being vigilant for his return. If you go back to the picture of the thief in the night, Jesus is calling us to be more like a community neighborhood watch program rather than a full-time security detail. And here's the thing. In the case of a bushfire, God willing, it will never happen, but Christ says his return is sure and certain. Just as sure as he died, rose again, and ascended into heaven, he will come again. And even if we are not left alive until his coming, there is a sense in which the day of our death brings us face to face with this same reality. The book of Hebrews says, it is appointed for man to die once and then the judgment. And your death is a sure thing. And you do not know that day or hour. So Jesus says, attend to this reality. Be alert. Stay awake. Keep watch. So how do you do this practically? How do you cultivate this attitude of watchfulness and not let your spiritual senses get dulled in life? There's so much we could say here. The New Testament often connects prayer with watchfulness. But for today, just to keep it simple and as we draw to a close, let me just say, you could do worse than come to this church Sunday by Sunday and look up at that window. And as that image is before your eyes, let the truth of Christ's coming again be set before the eyes of your mind and heart, and ask yourself, how does that change the way I live now? And as you look at that image, look at the wounds in his hands and his feet. And let your eyes be drawn down to the crucifix on the altar, where you are reminded that the one who is coming again in glory is the one who came and died on the cross for you, who rose again to save you. and from that crucifix look to the altar. And be reminded that that same Jesus comes to you even this very day to give you all the benefits he won for you on that cross. All those things he will bring to completion on the final day. I cannot tell you the day or the hour when he will come again. But I can tell you the day and the hour he comes to you now. Sunday, 9, 11, and 7 p.m. And as you receive him here, when you know he comes, you will be prepared to receive him then and that day when you don't know the day or the hour. God grant it to us for Jesus' sake. Amen.